House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February 19, 2016, the 10th day of the session. Today is the last day for Committee of the Whole in the House of Origin, and Monday, the 22nd, is the last day for second reading in the House of Origin. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen, Baker, Baldwin, Barlow,
here.
Berger,
here.
Blackburn,
here.
Blake,
here.
Burkhart,
here.
Bird,
here.
Campbell,
here.
Kennedy,
here.
Clem,
here.
Connolly,
here.
Dayton,
here.
Edmonds,
here.
Edwards,
here.
Eklund,
here.
Escabel,
here.
Freeman,
here.
Gay,
here.
Greer,
here.
Halverson,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jennings,
here.
Tasbarrick, Kinner,
present.
Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Larson Lloyd,
here.
Larson Dan,
here.
Lindholm,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nicholas, Northrup,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Pelkey,
here.
Petroff, Piperinen,
here.
Pinnell,
here.
Reeder,
here.
Schwartz, Summers,
here.
Steinmetz,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Walters,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
60 present.
The prayer of the day is offered by Pastor Roger Whitmore, representing Cheyenne Hills Church. And Pastor Whitmore, thank you for being with us this week.
Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for the privilege to pray for the House this week. And God, as we come to Friday, I ask for clarity and recall for these who have worked hard. They have a very important agenda today. And so, God, with clarity, I ask that they would be mindful of the things that they have heard through committees and all the different things, the facts, the information that they have poured over and over and over. So, God, I pray that you would bring those to their minds as they make decisions today, as they push forward, as they represent us. So, God, thank you again for their tremendous work. And I pray that at the end of today, they will walk out of here and know that it has been a good day, and God, that you have given them favor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You know what, Pastor? I'm getting conflicted.
Yeah, since we're both
sick. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The new person of the university coming in.
By statute, you are the one that has the authority
okay.
to do that.
I just might do that.
So you can do that.
Thank you.
Good morning. Yeah, you are. You spent so much time up here.
I know.
You did a nice job.
Once I got rolling, I was like, get started. But anyway.
Okay, he's called Mark at Piper.
I will.
Yeah,
if you want to write or a note, you can all take it.
Oh, okay. Derek, break a leg. You'll do great. They take their phones up. I've seen them do that.
I'm not going to invite anybody.
No.
I'm not going to give them a chance. Yeah, okay. All right, here we go. We've got to get going.
We've got to go.
May we have the journal report, please?
Your journal committee reports that the journal of February 18, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representative Steinmetz and Schwartz.
Messages from the Senate.
Message 145. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate Joint File 1, Right of Privacy and Right to Know. Ayes 13, noes 16, one excused. This bill has been indefinitely postponed. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 146. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 51, Post-Conviction Actual Innocence. Ayes 6, noes 24. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
The doctor of the day is Jeremy Kessler from Cheyenne. Please welcome him to the House. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Lori Nichols will become the next president of the University of Wyoming in May. Dr. Nichols comes to Wyoming with excellent experience. She is currently and has been the provost and executive vice president for academic affairs at South Dakota State University since 2009. Before that, she was dean of the SDSU College of Education and Human Sciences from 1994 to 2008. From 2008 through mid-June 2009, Dr. Nichols served as interim president of Northern State University in Aberdeen, South Dakota. She began her career in higher education as a member of the faculty of the University of Idaho from 1988 to 1994. Lori Nichols was born and raised in South Dakota. She and her husband, Tim, have two college-age daughters. Representative Stubson, would you please escort Dr. Nichols forward so she might share a few words with us?
Thank you very much. Good morning. And yes, please be seated. I just want to say thank you so much for the invitation to just provide a few brief remarks to you this morning. Let me begin by just saying that I want to thank you for your service to the legislature in the state of Wyoming. I know how hard you work, and I know that you have some kind of tough decisions to be made, and I just want to tell you thank you for what you do for this state. I also want to tell you that I am thrilled to be the incoming president of the University of Wyoming. Again, I know how important the University of Wyoming is to this state. It is the only four-year institution in Wyoming, which is very unique, and it means that it plays a critical role to the state in terms of workforce development, in terms of economic development, in terms of just having a vibrant state. And I'm very committed to making sure that the university continues to move forward and has a visionary future and does wonderful things for the state. And I just look so forward to that opportunity to do that. So let me just say a word about myself. I will be coming in May. I plan to start at the university on May 16th. I'll be wrapping up my duties at South Dakota State the week before as we have our commencement. And then I decided to come right away because I didn't want to lose any part of summer. I wanted to capture all of it. And I do plan to spend much of my summer traveling the state of Wyoming and meeting you and learning more about the state. I'm new to Wyoming, and I know I have a lot of learning to do. So my plan is to be in each of your communities, and I hope I get to meet you in your home. And I hope that you will have a few minutes that you can show me your home, your community, your district. You can share with me a little bit more about what makes your communities tick and what's important to you. And then I also hope that you can share with me your thoughts about the University of Wyoming, because by the end of summer, after I've had a chance to travel Wyoming and learn much more about it, I would like to work with the university, my team, to kick off a strategic planning effort and really put in place a very strong five-year plan for the university. And, of course, your input into that will be critical. So, again, I won't take any more of your time, but thank you so much for allowing me to be here this morning and just to offer a few words to you. I wish you the very best as you work through the next couple of weeks of the session. And, again, thank you so much for your support of the University of Wyoming. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Nichols. Derek Conrad is a senior at Cheyenne Central High School. He's student body treasurer for the Student Senate. He's also a member of the National Honor Society and president of the speech and debate team. He's been on the speech and debate team for 4 years and is an ambassador to the state of Wyoming's speech and debate programs. He has qualified for the national tournament 3 times and has gone to the tournament in congressional debate. He is an All-American student in speech and debate, receiving over 1,600 points during his 4 years. He plans on attending the University of Missouri on scholarship, majoring in political science. He intends to further his speech and debate career and become a lawyer.
Yes.
Additionally, he plans on running for the position of the United States Senate in 2036. He plans on announcing his name for the presidential nomination bid. Derek, it's been a pleasure to have you here, and I would extend to you a privilege of the floor if you'd like to address the body.
I was just going to ask you that, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, please do.
Mr. Speaker, Madam Majority Leader, Madam Minority Leader, Mr. Minority Whip, and Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, ladies and gentlemen of the 63rd House of Representatives. I've been told by many people consisting of the staff of the House, legislature, and even a couple people in my family say I have to give this speech. I don't know where they get that I want to give this speech or if they can even come up with it in a short amount of time. But ultimately, what we really have to look at is I want this to be a 15-second speech, but as we all know, 15 seconds usually turns into a couple minutes, and then even maybe more after that. Representative Harshman, I kid. I would first like to say thank you to Margie George, Patty Benskin, and the Patty McGinney and Ed McGinney for giving me the shot at interviewing me and giving me this job and helping me make the wonderful memories I shall never forget. I think it would like to say thank you to the Majority Leader Berger, Minority Leader Throne, Representative Halverson, Representative Wilson, Representative Kasparek, Representative Harvey, Representative Steinmetz, Representative Campbell, Representative Petrov, and Representative Dayton for always having a smile on their face when I come to work, and it has always made my day a lot better. Yeah. With my short 2 weeks tenure here, I could call myself a House Representative's page. I have done a lot of the following. I have been able to go home and tell my parents consistently what I have done at my job, and the first couple weeks has been a lot. Conversation goes as the follow. My mom would ask me, "How did your day go, son?" I would respond with, "I got to deliver rocks to all of the representatives and formerly known as Sandstone." I've been bullied by Representative Blake, Jim Jr., Mike, and Bob, Jim Jr. being Rick, but I digress. I've also been able to water flowers and walk over 40 miles in my 2 weeks that I've been here, and she responded with, "Sounds like you have a worse job than I do," and she works for the federal government. So stated in my job description as the wording along the lines of, we'll have to deliver notes from the lobby to the representatives and so on and so forth. The notes passed between Representative Blake and Representative Lindholm will always have a fond spot in my heart, partially because partially just because overall the notes passed between Representative Lindholm and Representative Blake could never have the possibility of ever responding by any means. So further on, ladies and gentlemen, I just really do want to say thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be the page. And ultimately, I want to say thank you to my mom and dad, which could not make it today. My mom working for the federal government have to go to work today, and my dad working for a union. So ultimately, what we really have to look at is my family's going to be a huge party Democrat, and I praise the Democrats in the back there, all nine of them. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Derek. It's been a pleasure to have you here. We're now at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first file for our consideration is Senate file 103. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate file 103 from Senator Ross, an act relating to administration of government.
Senate file 103 is referred to Committee Number 1 Judiciary. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 100. The reading clerk will read the file. Senate File 10. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 10 from Representative Perkins, an act relating to civil procedure.
Senate File 10 is referred to Committee Number 1 Judiciary. The next file for our Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 36. The reading clerk will read the Senate file.
Senate File 36 from Corporations, an act relating to limited liability companies.
Senate File 36 is assigned to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 81. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 81 from Senator Rothfuss, an act relating to school capital construction.
Senate File 81 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 29. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 29 from the Management Council, an act relating to administration of government.
Senate File 29 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 23, Engrossed, NRC Agreement State Amendments, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, Walters, Gay was excused, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
Members, we've got some very special guests from the city of Cody in the fishbowl today. We've got the mayor of the city, Nancy Brown, Council President Steve Miller, and Council Member Donnie Anderson. So please welcome to the House, dear friends from Cody.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Per House Rule 7-3, I request and move that we lay back second reading of our bills today until Monday.
You've heard the motion. You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been granted, and was that second and third reading bills both? Second reading bills are laid back until Monday. We're now at that business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 51. Hang on a minute. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 51, from Appropriations, an act relating to local government funding, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'd like to move House Bill 51, third reading amendment number one. Mr. Speaker, what we're looking at here is moving the funded portion up to $120 million. I know that's we all got on board with $105 million just yesterday. What my thoughts here are is that we've got an opportunity and another piece of legislation coming to us from another body where we've got an opportunity to take some of those funds and put them to work for locals, towns, and counties. And that's the idea behind this, and that's the impetus behind it. We're really down in revenue, and right now we're looking at locals, towns, and counties facing the highest cut out of any other agency, facing the steepest cut out of any other agency. And this won't even, by putting it up to $120 million, this doesn't even get as close to the other agencies, but this is something that can be put to work in our local towns and counties where our revenue actually stems from. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I'll stand for questions.
Chairman Madden, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd ask for some resistance on this. You know, nobody likes to turn down money for our people back home, but, you know, this isn't the last stop this bill has to make before it's law. And we need to show that we're responsible. We need to show that we're credible. We need to show that there's an interface with this bill and House Bill 1 that we're going to be spending the rest of the time talking about. All of you probably had a chance to look at what's embodied in some of those third reading amendments in House Bill 1. A 35% increase in direct distributions from what anyone has ever recommended in the government is irresponsible, in my opinion.
Representative Larson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The thing that I think we need to be careful not to compare cities, towns, and counties with an agency. They are not an agency of the state. We fund, they're an agency of their own, and to compare that with a state agency reduction is like pine cones and oranges. They just are not even close to being the same. The other thing that we need to be careful of is we say that if we pass an amendment further down the road, then we'll have the money there. It's kind of like pass the bill and then we'll see what's in it. If we pass this and then look forward to it really puts the pressure on us to adopt something that we may not want to do there. I would just mechanically, it just doesn't work, and I would rise in opposition of the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the comments from the other representatives. I don't think this is irresponsible to look out for our towns and counties. I don't think it's irresponsible to try and do what we can, because the other representatives are right. We are going to be going to another body where this bill will be looked at and will be vetted, and I think it puts our cities, towns, and counties in a better position, by going in at this level at 120 million versus 105. I think it's, that gives us a better bargaining chip, and I think it leaves cities, towns, and counties with a little bit of breathing room coming up in the next biennium. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 51. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 51 has failed. Division being called. All in favor, please stand. All opposed, please stand. More than 15. Third reading amendment number one has now resoundingly failed in the House. House Bill 51, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton. Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund. Escobel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen. Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne. Throne. Walt. Throne. Throne excused. Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 2 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 51, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 51 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 60. There is an amendment. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill number 60.
Representative Winters, the reading clerk wants to read the bill.
Oh. I don't want to, but I will. House Bill 60 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to institutions of the state, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Thank you. Now, Representative Winters.
Thank you. I'm so excited to present this amendment. I would like to move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 60 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is an amendment that on page number three. Just add simply the phrase, for whom there's no availability or who is not eligible for placement in the Wyoming Retirement Center. This amendment should make you feel pretty good because it strikes that careful balance that we've been aiming for all along. And it just makes sure that there is proper communication between the different state facilities in placement of hard-to-place individuals. And so with that, Mr. Speaker, I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Lloyd, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just extend my appreciation to the good representative from the Warm Springs country for his efforts in trying to accommodate people that he feels are served by the retirement center. But as we've talked about on the other amendments, there's just more to this than a simple meeting the qualifications to go to the retirement center. And we really haven't gotten too far into the weeds here, but maybe it's time to do that just a little bit. We've really spent a lot of time, the task force has, over the last 2 years, coming to understand all the federal regulations governing the populations that can be served here and in all of the facilities, what those implications mean, how that has to have an effect on the state's ability to move populations from one facility to the next. For example, the state hospital is an IMD, an institution for mental disease. Now, and it serves as a skilled nursing facility at an IMD. Now, the requirements for an IMD is different than a skilled nursing facility, which is an SNF. And so an IMD can only be reimbursed on the federal funding rate for people who are getting Medicaid services if their primary diagnosis is mental disease. So if you've got somebody at an IMD who is 19 to 65 and is not got a primary diagnosis of mental disease, then they can't be reimbursed. But if they do, then it can upset the whole apple cart. So how that applies is we are looking at trying to recapture some of those funds that the state has been expending on these various populations, and being able to move some of those populations for hard-to-place, duly diagnosed patients to Lander within an age group. We can put them in a skilled nursing facility, and we can even have some of those who may have mental disease but may not be their primary diagnosis. But if that is their primary diagnosis, can even absorb some of that as long as it doesn't reach up to 50% of the population. So what this amendment does is it says that they can't go to the Life Resource Center if they're eligible and there's capacity at the retirement center. So potentially what could happen is you could move people who have mental disease into the retirement center, and if that population got to be 50% of that total population, then we couldn't get reimbursement of Medicaid funds for the whole institution. And that becomes very problematic. The other part of that is, on this, is that the availability and the eligibility may be at the retirement center, but the facility itself may not qualify just because of the way the physical assets are constructed. For people that have some eating disorders or some wandering disorders, they may qualify for skilled nursing facilities, but that may not be the best place to put them. But this would require us to put them there. We haven't taken the task force hasn't taken the study of all of this lightly, and sometimes the definitions make your head spin around. In fact, I would share with you that we were thorough to the point that our department that oversees this was able to identify many of these inadequacies in federal regulations that govern our state facilities that caught our consultants off guard, and thank heavens they did. And the last thing that I would say there is that we as a task force have talked about using these state facilities as a safety net for people that qualify. So then if we adopt that for all the facilities that we are going to use in this, then we have a population being served by the retirement center that doesn't qualify for a safety net. What do we do with them? Do we now say that they need to be discharged? Do we make them find another accommodation? Those are questions that we'd have to address if we move forward with this type of amendment to the bill. So not trying to be Simon Legree or Snidely Whiplash, but I would ask you to defeat this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really appreciate the words of my good friend there, but I really want you to understand the nature of this particular amendment. It has two parts. The first part is if there is no availability or is not eligible. And so it actually answers some of the concerns that were brought and raised during the first reading amendment, and also again just now. If there isn't availability or if there's not eligibility, obviously they would continue on to the next available state facility. And this, I believe, is very important because earlier in the week we heard a story about an individual that was hard to place, and they couldn't find placement at that facility at the WRC in Basin. So they did find placement for that individual in Evanston. But what they also found is in Evanston, they had individuals there that were available for placement at the Wyoming Retirement Center. And what that demonstrates to me is that there probably isn't the greatest level of communication among the state facilities. And this right here is not a burdensome addition at all to this bill. All it does is make sure that there's a greater communication between these state facilities to find the proper location for these particular patients. And so what I want us to do is understand that the state facility we currently have right now for some of these individuals is properly acknowledged in the process of placement. And so that's why this is a more carefully crafted amendment, and I really appreciate your aye vote on this if you get the chance.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 60. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 60 has failed. House Bill 60, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call a roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Hunt,
aye.
Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stebson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gay, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 no.
House Bill 60, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 60 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 1. There are amendments. Would the reading clerk please read the bill?
I'll be happy to. House Bill 1. An act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2016 and ending June 30th, 2018, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
The first amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 1. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment 1 on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 1. And the purpose of the second reading amendment was fulfilled through meetings that we had yesterday. And there were some unintended consequences to that amendment, like, and I'm sure you've heard from your senior centers, that would come out of the Department of Aging. And so I think that the message sent was received and that negotiations can continue in the problem areas.
And I would therefore like to remove the second reading, amendment number one, and just leave it off the budget. I would encourage your aye vote.
Anyone for their first time? Seeing none, we're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one passes. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment 38, Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I move third reading amendment number 38 to House Bill number 1. This is an amendment that was passed during second, removing an amendment that was passed during second reading, and I don't believe it was quite explained what exactly was going on. The amendment, and this has to do with that Lifesaver program. The first amendment that passed, we adopted basically, or we chose to adopt what the JAC had recommended, and cutting that program so that they could come back the next year and make sure everything is sound with the program, the program's being run correctly, and if those funds are being utilized the way they should. The amendment that I'm removing completely removed all funds from that program. And I don't believe there was enough discussion or talk that went in regards to if we wanted to fund the entire program. Remember, this is a program that this body supported last year, because of what it can do, and it's a cheap program. It's really, we're saving pennies here, realistically, and I would encourage your aye vote on this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Walters, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd encourage you to defeat this amendment. This is just what I described a couple days ago. This is growth in government right here at its very best. This is a good program. It's a very inexpensive program, but it's a program that can be paid for through the local governments, through the Sheriff's Department. The Sheriff's Department in their search and rescue budget, if they aren't having to go out and search and rescue these folks, they save money. So ultimately, they can use that saved money to help support this program. This is a program that does not need state support. This is a program that needs to be locally supported and locally controlled. And so I would encourage you to defeat this amendment. It is time to defund this program entirely. That's the purpose of the amendment that I had the other day. And so I would encourage you to defeat this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Time to defeat this program. We just authorized this program. We haven't seen this program go in place. We haven't seen this program put to work. What we have seen is we've seen Albany County pick up $15,000 from this program to put this program into place. We've seen Campbell County put it in for $16,000. Carbon County, $17,000. Crook County, $17,000. Johnson County, $19,000. Teton County, $21,000. Uinta County, $17,000. They've used every available fund to get this program up and running. And it's a cheap program to put in place here in these counties. So I encourage your aye vote. This is still way dialed back from what the original bill was. It provides oversight through the JAC so they can keep an eye on things. And I'd ask you to respect the work of the JAC in this regard. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 38 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 38 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 2. Representative Barlow.
Respectfully withdrawn.
Third reading amendment number 2 is withdrawn. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 3. Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill number 1 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Members, this is kind of a unique position for me as a prosecutor. I'm requesting that the global cuts that were made to the public defender's office be restored. So if you're working off the summary sheet, I'm asking that the $147,590 for travel, assigned vehicles, and professional services, which was number 1 in the footnote, and number 3, the $276,011, which was the 1.5, the 1% and the 2% reduction. And the reason I bring this amendment is, you know, I deal with this every day, and I see that we have quite a few indigent defendants in Wyoming, and we see more and more of these indigent defendants in serious crime situations where they need to be defended by the public defender's office. And there's really, I really believe that the public defender's office is being stretched very thinly now. And there's particular jurisdictions, particularly where we used to mine a lot of coal, that have a real difficult time being able to have attorneys represent these defendants. So when you're looking at fairness and you're looking at enforcing the law, we have to be fair on both sides. We have to be fair in how we prosecute, and we have to be fair that every person that's accused of a crime has competent representation. And the public defender's office does that. So I would request an aye vote on this. Let's give them the resources that they need. Everybody in the state of Wyoming that's accused of a crime is entitled to competent representation. And I believe if restoring these cuts is a step forward in that. So thank you.
Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a little more information on this. This particular agency reverted well over this amount of money. And part of our work, too, we look at these on how much money is reverted. So how much expenditures meet actual appropriations. And I know then you think, well, agency directors are being frugal and doing what we want. But I think part of it's a balancing act. And I think the good representative from Park County is correct. I mean, you want to do this one right, for sure. And so maybe we just disagree on the amount. But I think our committee was pretty intentional about this and looked at this particular agency very carefully because of the issues raised by the good representative. And again, it's all trying to hit the Goldilocks thing just right. And I think we're all right with where we're at on our JAC position. So I'm going to vote no. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Mr. What are you? Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And against the amendment, I would just want to make one other point as we, especially on the front end of working through these amendments, and this becomes especially relevant on some of these smaller agencies, and that is, remember that we have given flexibility with respect to these global cuts. So the biggest portion of this reinstatement, if in fact this department needs additional funds in that over the next 2 years, we give flexibility to add additional, to flex funds in there from places where they aren't needed. And so we have given an extraordinary amount of flexibility with respect to these global funds to deal just with the type of situation that the good sponsor of this amendment talks about. And so there's enough resources there to take care of, even if there is a need. So I would urge your no vote on this.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Conlon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of this amendment. One of the handouts that we received in JAC illustrated the caseloads that the public defenders have right now, and in fact pointed to the digression from what the American Bar Association recommends as kind of maximum caseloads in many of our counties. So our good prosecutor, which I really appreciate him taking on this amendment because it is the defense attorneys that he is arguing against, was correct that they are being stretched incredibly thin. And the notion that there's flex, we actually did talk about that in terms of the governor's flexibility. But this is one of those cases where the 900 series cuts to contract attorneys is incredibly relevant with this particular agency. This is where they hire contract attorneys because of the need not only to meet the caseloads in counties, but also to maintain the conflict-free obligation that those attorneys have. They need to travel. They need to do their work in a variety of counties, and the cuts that we made to the 900 series overwhelmingly impacts an agency like this one. So now we're leaving it to the governor to use the Superflex authority in order to backfill there. And I think that that is a kind of dangerous and inappropriate way for us to think about the Superflex authority when we know the governor will absolutely need to backfill this particular agency. So on and in favor of it.
Anyone else for the Representative Greer?
Mr. Speaker, I'll just go quickly for the body. I just am opposed to the amendment. You've heard a lot of the reasons why, which I agree with. This was analyzed. Just want to draw your attention. It's a $28 million budget. $28 million budget. And so we're talking about $400,000.
Representative Throne, for your first time. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's important for the non-attorneys in the room to understand that when, and I think the good prosecutor from the northern part of the state highlighted it, but when it's harder for everybody involved in the process when the attorneys in a case are not good or they're overworked and they can't really adequately prepare their cases. So in the end, you may save a few $100,000 in travel money or whatever this is exactly. But in the end, you cost the entire system more money because mistakes happen, they have to be fixed, and everything, you pass costs on to the prosecutors if they've got a bad attorney on the other side and it mucks everything up, or an overworked attorney on the other side. And so really, again, this is one of those penny wise and pound foolish things where we think we're saving money, but in the long run, we're going to be spending more money.
Chairman Miller, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I'm going to support this. That was a good comment from the minority floor leader. Our prisons are overcrowded now. They need some good, when we have to pay for the defense of these people, maybe we'll take some pressure off that part of our state government. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I just want to, and I appreciate the good debate on this this issue. And I want to highlight why I focused on these two areas, particularly the travel area. So you have bigger cases in the state where you have multiple defendants that are either indicted or charged with crime. So you'll have 15, 16 defendants in one county. And as a result of that, most of those defendants are indigent. So you'll have a group of public defenders from one area of the state having to travel to another area of the state. And I know just in my jurisdiction, we have five part-time public defenders, and they're on the road all the time. They're in other counties covering these conflict cases. And so I really think that the travel aspect contained in the $147,000 a dollar line item is crucial for these folks to cover that. In addition, with the $276,000 as it relates to the standard budget, they're down at least one attorney position, if not more. And in addition to that, they contract with attorneys to do public defender work. So when you're talking about liberty and you're talking about depriving people of liberty, I think it's important that we as a state recognize that those folks, they need to have competent representation, and they need to have people that are going to be able to do their job and do it effectively. So the system needs to work, and the system and people need to be held accountable for their actions, but it needs to work both ways. So in terms of a $28 million budget, I believe that the $423,000 request to make sure that this department is effective and does its job is a reasonable request, and I would request to and ask for your aye vote on this amendment. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 3 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 29, Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What we're looking at here on, first of all, I'd like to move third reading amendment number 29 to House Bill number 1. Mr. Speaker, members of the 63rd, what we're looking at here is another situation where we've got two programs that exist, one in one department, one in another. Speaking of the Business Council, they've got a program, Rural Development Education. It sounds a lot like the Department of Ed's Egg in the Classroom. And so in doing some research, I contacted both entities, found out what it would be, what it would take to transfer one program into the other and let it be consolidated. And that's the idea here. We're taking $200,000 from the Wyoming Business Council and putting in the Department of Ag to be used, as you can see, specifically for agriculture education offered to adults. I think that's where this program belongs, and that's where I think it could be the most cost effective. Thank you.
Anyone for the first time? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would push back on this. We're pulling money out of the Business Council into the Department of Ag for a specific program to educate education offered to adults on agriculture. I would say there's a lot of things we could offer to adults on education, including on how this body works. And that, plus our oil and gas industry, mining, and any number of things. While we have ag in the classroom, I know the oil and gas industry is looking at a program called Oil and Gas in the Classroom that is being funded by the industry, not by state dollars. So I would gently push back on this and ask for your no vote. It's just moving money around for a program without a lot of specifics, without what's it intended to accomplish or anything else. So I would vote no on this.
Representative Steinmetz, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This to me is kind of a let me down easy amendment. We've got a lead class that's in progress. The funding was supposed to be there, and the funding got cut, so the class is in the middle of their operations right now. A lot of us are working on trying to get this privately funded. It was one of our class goals when I was in this program, and so we're just trying to get them a little bit of breathe room until we can get some private funding for this good program. Thanks so much.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Again, here we go. Now we're funding a program that we're having trouble getting industry or outside funding for. How many of these do we have to do? I think industry should fund things, and people who want to make donations fund them. And if we have trouble getting those donations, maybe there's a reason private parties don't want to fund them. And again, I would ask for your no vote on this to fund a specific program, which, again, we need to have a long look at these programs. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Lindholm?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I think there's a misunderstanding on this. This program, regardless of where it exists, is still going to be funding. I'm moving that program from the Wyoming Business Council in this amendment over to the Department of Agriculture, specifically into the Ag in the Classroom. And the purpose of that is because it's more prudent for them to actually be part of an already existing program that's in place under the Department of Agriculture versus the Business Council, who's, in my opinion, going a million different directions. And I don't know how vested they are in running this program at this point. So this doesn't add a program or anything like that. It's just moving a program that's being funded currently, will be continued to be funded in the current budget. And I'm just asking to move this program from the Wyoming Business Council to the Department of Ag. I appreciate your i-vote. Thank you.
All right. The question is on third reading amendment 29 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 29 to House Bill 1 has passed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 30. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move amendment number 30 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. There is a correct copy and then a corrected copy there. The corrected copy had the word docket inserted on about line 7 down there in front of 15A773. Otherwise, they read the same. And what this is, I hesitate to call it a haircut. It's more like a an eyebrow trim or something like that in this particular agency. And it's to prevent them from spending a lot of money implementing or looking at a plan that is basically in litigation right now. It's in a stay, and it's going to be at least a year before this is cleared up, probably 2 years. So if they need money for this particular study and for Wyoming to implement these plans, we're going to have an opportunity next year during the general session to put the necessary funds in. But this year we can save a little bit. So I ask for your favorable consideration.
Anyone else for their first time? Minority Leader Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I guess I have mixed feelings about this amendment. I don't really think it saves money because the other funds is special revenue. It's not really state dollars. I'm guessing that's operating permit fees, although I don't know for sure. Those fees are provided by industry. I totally oppose the Clean Power Plan. I've said that publicly. I've published that in articles. So this isn't really about whether you support or don't support the Clean Power Plan. It's not interfering with the work of the agency charged with working on this. And while I don't think this causes imminent harm, I'm just a little wary. What happens if the stay is lifted? I guess does the money flow in automatically so they can get to work? I certainly hope the whole rule goes away, but if that doesn't happen, we have to be ready.
Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I have to do my JAC job here. I agree with the pushback and the fact that we have the stay in place, but I also need to let you know that the general fund dollars at $300,000 is used by the department for other air quality monitoring activities. And then also, just so you're aware, the special revenue, the 247, that comes from our Title V omitters. And that's an authorization to use that fund within that program. Not all of these dollars were directed at putting together a state implemented plan. While I would love to say, hey, we don't need to do this at all, the fact of the matter is these dollars are necessary for other obligations of the agency.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just need to check out my voice and make sure I still have it. To concur with what was just said, if we want to make a statement not to do the plan, then let's just say don't do the plan. But to cut back revenues, regular operating revenues for the agency, to me doesn't they're totally separated, and so there's no logic to that. I mean, if you just want to say don't do the plan, don't do the plan, but. Anyway, thank you.
Representative Clem, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and for the amendment, Bonnie, this is simply just saying that we're not going to expend funds at this time while the Supreme Court has put a stay on the Clean Power Plan, which, as was mentioned previously, could take a year or two to clear up. And if at that time, we decide to go ahead and fund what we're going to do if indeed the court rules in favor of the Clean Power Plan, then we expend funds. But we don't lose anything by not doing this. In fact, I would contend that if we make these funds available for general appropriations, then what we risk doing is possibly going forward and developing a plan, and if the Supreme Court strikes that plan, then we've wasted a lot of money. And so again, it's just it seems to be prudent at this point in time, while this Clean Power Plan is in litigation, that we hold off and see what the Supreme Court does. And with that, I would say vote aye.
For your first time, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and as I really hate to step out of the tracks that my great leader from my part of the state plows, I need to a little bit on this, and I support, again, the idea and the concept of it, and I agree with the last speaker that, you know, we've on much of what he said, but the problem that the department has is that $300,000 that comes out of their operating fund. We've really tasked this agency over the last couple bienniums to reduce the number of full-time employees that they have, and they've done a very good job at that. And so the cushion of funds that they have to run their operations is not excessive at this point, as we've required them to be lean. And so to pull this $300,000 out specifically out of operations as I talked to the department today about it, it would cause some difficulty in administrating some of the other air quality responsibilities that they have, which we have primacy for, and we don't want to lose that primacy. So I would urge you to vote against this amendment.
For your first time, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks. I would also encourage you to vote against it. And I think actually in a supplemental budget, maybe I'd be more for it, but my fear is we're going to put it in the budget for 2 years, and we're going to have to do something next year with this whole section. It's just easier to wait a year, see what happens, not tie any funds up or tie anyone's hands or put extra funds on the table when we don't exactly know what the outcome will be. And I think we're just putting a burden without fully, with this brief explanation we've just had. This is a much, much deeper issue, and I know lots of people in the Minerals Committee who are co-sponsoring this have heard one side of it. Obviously, there's another side of it, and nobody knows fully what's going to happen in the next year. So I think it's safer just to leave it out for the time being. If things go our way a year from now, totally we should put this in and take the money, but I just don't think right now is the right time to do it.
Representative Reeder.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I think this is the time to do it. We are doing our due diligence. If this is not needed at this time, then I totally support this amendment. Please vote aye.
Anyone else for their first time? For your first time, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would move to divide the amendment and have division number one as one through lines 1 through 4, and division number two as lines 5 through 21.
Representative, I don't think that's divisible because there is, on lines 1 through 4, it requires the insertion of the footnote 3. So I'm going to rule that that's not divisible.
Thank you, Mr.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, just promoted you. The Title V fees are paid by industry. They are paid by industry to run the air quality program. So essentially, I'm just really uncomfortable taking any money out of the Title V program because it just operates at cost. And the fees are calculated based on emissions, and it's complicated. And I don't think third reading of the budget without time to fully consult with the agency is a good idea. Industry pays this money, and they expect it to be used for the intended purpose of running the air quality program and doing the things that Title V requires. So I don't think it's appropriate to cut the money to make a political statement. No one's going to be doing anything on the Clean Power Plan, at least not much, while the litigation is pending. We're not going to waste a lot of money getting ready for the Clean Power Plan. We'll probably have to do some discussions, consult with stakeholders. But until the litigation is done, you just have to kind of be prepared, but you're not going to spend a lot of money to make it happen. And I just, playing around with the Title V money is just a huge risk, and even I'm not quite sure what it means. And if I don't know, I'm kind of wondering how any of the rest of us can know. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time prior to the sponsor, Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Majority, or Speaker Pro Tem. You know, this isn't all of the industry's funds. Less than half of it is that particular account. And, you know, as much as I hate to burden a state agency that pretty much is solely implementing federal environmental regulations, I ask that you do and pass this amendment. This is a tiny, tiny step. They did add people, I believe, in this division last year. So, you know, who's actually going to be doing anything in this state anymore? So I ask you to pass the amendment. It's a tiny little trim, and we'll see where we're at next year.
All right. The question is on third reading amendment number 30 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 30 to House Bill 1 has failed. Division being called. All in favor, please stand. All opposed, please stand. More than 22. Okay. Third reading amendment number 30 has failed. We are now on to third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move amendment number 4 to House Bill 1 and ask for your considerable your consideration. I call this my penny plan for the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust. What I propose to do is to add $500,000 over the next 2 years. The goal of the trust is to build up a corpus of $200 million, and so far we have $100 million in that trust. The money from the interest income off that trust goes for conservation projects. Of the $100 million that we've got so far in the trust, there's only been $1 million that has been put outside the state government. Basically, the way that the trust is set up is that donors would rather donate to a project than to a to the corpus. They realize that they can get 3 to 6 times more money towards a project that they endorse by giving to the project instead of to the fund. Our governor, the guy that lives close to where we used to sit, he has for many years tried to convince us to fully fund the trust to go forward. That is a missed opportunity. When the trust was not fully funded up to the $200 million, we, as a legislature, gave money for administration, and we at times also put money towards the to fill in the gap from what it would be if we had $200 million. We did not do that this year, and I think that that was a wise choice. What the trust does, and this is a very short list because we have a very long list to get through today, is it provides local advocates, for lack of a better way, of doing things to preserve open space and habitat. In my community, it restored a wetland that was destroyed by a dam being built upstream. We also put a fish screen in to where that thousands of fish were saved from going into irrigation ditches to be fully enjoyed by fishermen and illegally introduced burbot. Conservation districts improve their watering systems while improving habitat. Research, also on my side of the state, there's been extensive research done on the mule deer, and without the help of the trust, other funding sources couldn't meet the full scope of what the project was doing. And then there is the controversial conservation easements. But I think it's important to realize that most of these projects come from local government and groups that want to improve basically the neighborhood that we live in. My proposal, and it'll sound strange coming from me, is in lockstep with the Joint Appropriations Committee. Basically, what we have been told almost entirely is we got to continue to save, and we cannot divert different streams. And I agree with that. So my modest proposal is just adding to inflation-proof the trust. If we continue to save at $250,000 a year, it'll be 400 years before it's fully funded. This is a maintenance, a call for maintenance of the trust fund. It shows the supporters of the trust fund and the people who have contributed to our projects that we are serious about the wildlife and natural resource fund. And I would ask for your favorable vote. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Majority. Speaker Pro Tem, I would ask you to resist this. The agency didn't ask for this. The fund is still there. It does have $104.1 million in it. It is growing, and it's actually growing at a rate faster than what this, even on interest, at what this small donation to it or contribution to the corpus would be. The funds are needed, and we will need them over time. But this is not the way to do it. It's to have a plan, not to randomly just start dumping money into these various savings accounts. And to maintain them for long term. So I would ask you to resist this amendment. The agency didn't want it. Their projects, the large projects, are winding down. The smaller ones will continue. And they have adequate money to do that for the time being. And this guarantees our future. But this is not the way to do it. Thank you.
Chairman Harsh.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I appreciate the member from Green River Country bringing this amendment and gives us a chance to kind of go down memory lane on some of these issues again, and so we all know about it. But there's $105 million in the trust. Legislature's done an amazing job, you know, and this was a goal the legislature clear back in the 70s, the Wildlife Trust Fund, before any of us were here. And our predecessors talked about this during the previous boom and then weren't able to do it because we went through another cycle. So during this past current boom, I would say, or We were able to put $105 million into the trust fund. Really awesome. And I think the goal is, you know, the stated goal has been $200 million. And that's to produce a certain level of income under our current investment plan. But I would remind the body of a very important constitutional amendment that we approved last time that's going to allow for the investment of these statutory trusts, which are currently just state agency pool. You can't, they're not a permanent trust, so they can't be invested like the permanent funds for long-term gain. So this $105 million, and there's other trusts like this too, statutory trusts that we have, are just doing that agency pool investment, which is generally lower. But our constitutional amendment would allow us to choose certain trust funds. This, I think, would be the first one. To me, this is the poster child of this amendment, to allow it to be invested like permanent funds of the state. And in effect, it will produce returns like a $200 million trust. That's the idea behind it. And so I this is a small amount of money, but it's a big amount of money for other programs, and I think it'll be so insignificant to this trust. The real big issue is coming next fall at the ballot box. Finally, I'd say there's $30 million in the project fund. There are still nine of that 30 that is unobligated. And, you know, what this $500,000 would produce for projects off investment, you know, it wouldn't even be the administrative cost for any of that $9 million, hardly. It'd be so small. So, but this $500,000 is a big deal somewhere else. And so I'm going to vote against it. I think everybody has supported the trust over the years, but this, I think, is unnecessary. Thank you.
For your first time, Minority Leader Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. The goal of the trust was $200 million, and so we are just over 50% there. The fact that a constitutional amendment may pass in the fall that would allow a better investment strategy for this fund is a reason to put more money in now. When you have an investment strategy, consistent investment in the fund is what keeps it growing and producing revenue. And if we stop investing in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, which seems to be our current thinking, because we did put over $2 million in the supplemental budget last year, but it's a part that's not going to get funded, and so therefore we've really neglected the trust fund for a few years. And this is a modest investment to keep the corpus growing, and it's completely irrelevant that current projects aren't using all the money. This is an investment for the future. So the fact that there's some money in the large project account right now is not really what we're talking about here today. We're talking about continuing to build the fund that will protect the wildlife legacy of Wyoming. When the mines are gone, when the oil wells are gone, when all of us are gone, the animals and the wildlife will still be important to our state. And this is really a long-term investment. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I think if I have this figured out right, you know, it's money coming out of the general fund, but the general fund is short of money this year, so the LSRA at one point is likely to be supplementing the general fund. So the way it looks to me, we're just substituting one savings account money for another savings account money. And I think I'm correct on this, but it just looks like we're not really accomplishing anything, because every other time we've been putting excess funds in, and I think that we need to perhaps save our LSRA for things down the road, not only this biennium, but the other bienniums down the way.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time prior to the sponsor? For your second time, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Speaker Pro Tem. Just a couple things. When I listened to the debate two days ago, it was suggested by the Chairman of Appropriations that this should come out of the general fund, so that's where I put it. And The other thing is that there's $30 million in the project fund, but only $8 million of those are open or unencumbered. It shows that this is a continuing project throughout the state. I would hope that you would consider investing, just like what we do with our 401ks or 457s, that we put money in it when even when times are bad. So I thank you for your time.
All right, the question is on third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1 has failed. Ladies and gentlemen, I forgot to mention it prior to last time, but you'll see in your box, if you haven't already, we have a green, a teal updated sheet with a little bit different order and some additional amendments. So the next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'd like to read third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1. I was going to run you off a little paper, but in the interest of trees, I didn't. But if you wanted to look at page 18 of the Agency 62, that's where I'm referencing this. I'll tell you what's there. But there are 6 general fund programs coming out of the Game and Fish Commission budget. I was on the TRW committee when one of these, when most of these requests came about, because they weren't associated with the regular management of game and non-game animals. They came to us and said, we really need to be funded extra. The license fees are not taking care of it. And, the license fees at that time, fishing were going down. So they really did need general funds. So we funded the veterinarian services. We funded the sage grouse, which was a big deal at that time. The wolf management and the chronic wasting came up, and the grizzly bear. Then the aquatic invasive species came up, and they came to us because we are the headwaters of the West. And if we got contaminated with the quagga mussels and zebra mussels, that just wouldn't be good for all everything downstream from us. So they talked us into bringing a bill to get $1 million for the checking of the watercraft coming into the state, and that's what started our aquatic invasive species movement. Right now, that program is up to $1,595,000, so it's come up a little bit. We have found some mussels, quagga or zebra mussels on boats, so it is a program that we really didn't want to have, but it was kind of thrust on us. And so this fund now is sitting at that $1.6 million. And in checking with the Game and Fish funds at that time, they didn't have much revenue. They need about $30 million to go with the ebbs and flow of the license sales. And they were, down into the 40s, and then things started to turn around. I've got another little sheet that I just got today telling the Pittman-Robertson money has really increased their funds. In the last 5 years, they've got $7 million, $6 million, $11 million, $6 million, and $12 million. I think this year it's looking at somewhere around $9 million, but that puts that reserve. When I was there, it was in the $50 million, and they said they were okay. Now it's up over $70 million. So I'm suggesting a little haircut in this budget of paying half of that general fund money out of their reserves, out of the $70-plus million that they have right now. So this is the amendment to take $80,000, which is half of their general fund for this project. So that would let them pay $80,000 and we pay $80,000. So that's the amendment. $800,000. Yeah, better get millions, billions, $800,000 for each entity. Thank you.
Chairman Petroff, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. So the money that was going into these programs, aquatic invasive species, grizzly bears, and so forth, that wasn't about the department not having enough money. It was mostly about whether hunters and anglers should be paying for these legislatively mandated programs. And so the Game and Fish Department is funded through license fees and then also through these federal taxes. And so the real question, and one of the things that a task force I was on this last year was trying to determine is it fair for hunters and anglers to pay for programs that are mandated by the federal government or by the state government? And I don't think that it is. We're already not fully funding those programs. The JAC put $2.3 million of the grizzly bear management appropriation back onto the department to have to fund. With regard to aquatic invasive species, we heard testimony that there are states paying tens of millions of dollars to try to clean up their waters after their invasions of some of these quagga mussels. Last year, there were 220,000 inspections on boats, 2,000 decontaminations, and folks, there were 39 contaminated boats that were discovered in those inspections. Any one of those boats would have caused in our state waters more money than the whole program for aquatic invasive species costs. So the program is essential. We're the headwaters, as it was previously testified, and so again, the program we're already putting a lot on the department for federally and state mandated programs, and another $800,000 doesn't make sense to put on the backs of hunters and anglers.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Just to echo those comments, this is a very effective program. We're a model program for the rest of the nation, and I believe that it's working. We shouldn't change it. This funding is essential to keep that program in place and keep being an elite program throughout the country. So on and against this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and for the amendment, we're not talking about decreasing the program. What we're simply saying is we want them to use their reserves, which are, again, funded in part by the Spitman-Roberts dollars. And I would push back and say this isn't being funded necessarily all by hunters and anglers. Those Spitman-Roberts dollars come from sales of ammunition. So we're talking about people who are buying firearms. And they may hunt, they may not hunt. They might just go and shoot at a range. And again, this fund has been funded, especially here lately, millions and millions of dollars have poured in. So we're not asking anybody in this body to say, well, let's not fund aquatic species. All we're simply saying is let's decrease those general funds by $800,000, and let's make the Game and Fish Commission out of their special reserve, which has been funded by the Spitman-Roberts dollars, which isn't necessarily coming from hunters and anglers. It's coming from a wide variety of folks. And let's make them bear some of this cost during this budget crunch. Thanks.
Mr. Speaker.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. The first thing I'd like to do is let's not have any revisionist history here. Let's talk about the history. This program was not forced on us by anybody, and it wasn't forced on us because we're a headwaters of a lot of streams in the state. That is not what the story was. The state to the east of us has a terrible problem with these mussels. The state to the southwest of us, where they gamble, has got a terrible problem with this. You've got boats that come in from those places into Wyoming. The reason that this program was instituted and put in place in the first place is to keep these things out as long as we can. And we all conceded when this program started that someday these mussels will be here. But maybe with this program we can buy a few years before they come in And maybe with this program, when they come in, maybe we can isolate them in a few bodies of water and not have them get loose in the entire state. So that's the reason we did it. And we looked at the numbers at the time that we instituted this program. The cost, once these mussels are in these bodies of water, are enormous. And at one time, I had a chunk of pipe sitting on my desk that had come from the big lake down there where they gambled that was totally encrusted with these things. And the state immediately south to us does not have them everywhere yet, and they are already spending millions and millions of dollars a year because these mussels get in to any kind of a water intake system, a water filtration system, a water treatment system. They totally encrust them, and they spend all kinds of money keeping them cleaned out and keeping them clear. The other thing these mussels do is when they get in a body of water, pretty soon it's clear. It's the most beautiful, clear water you've ever seen in the world. That's because they've devoured virtually everything in there. And it is the water becomes almost, from a fish's point of view, an inert substance. There's nothing there but maybe some oxygen, but there's absolutely no food left in the water because these mussels take everything. So those are the reasons we did it. We are going to get the mussels. I don't think we can avoid it. But every year that we hold them off, we agreed that it saved us a tremendous amount of money. The Game and Fish Commission administers, in rough terms, funds that from sportsmen for things that we hunt and fish and kill and hook and bait or whatever that term is. And the chairman of TRW is exactly correct. This was a program that we forced onto Game and Fish because we were looking at the bigger picture. Game and Fish, from the standpoint of what we hunt and fish, hasn't been particularly interested in this. Now, you can make the argument, once these mussels get in there, they're going to destroy fishing, and that's certainly valid. And so the Game and Fish does have, the commission does have a dog in this fight to some extent. But we put it into the Game and Fish, and then we did a major revision. After we first created the program, we did a major revision. That's when we put these signs up and put check stations at every entrance into the state, and we're trying to inspect every boat and stop those mussels for as long as we can. Probably someday, and at least in some of our larger bodies of water, we'll lose the battle. But every year that we can keep those mussels out is another year that we've saved ourselves a lot of money. And so I think it is fair. When we did this program and told the Game and Fish to take it, it is fair that we fund it, that we contribute the money for it. And there may be some buildup in there, but let me tell you, sooner or later, as these mussels make their way somewhere into Wyoming, we're going to take a big hit, and it's going to take a lot of money to fund it. So I don't see any harm with leaving it the way it is. I'd urge you to vote against this amendment.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I don't think that the bringers of the amendment are saying it's a bad program. And so I just want to kind of point out the fact that this program is funded at $2.6 million after the JAC cuts. And of that, before this amendment, it's just $1.565 million is general fund dollars. And then the special revenue is $1 million. And the special revenue is that sticker that they collect. And so I think you got to look at the policy decision here of if this program is that important, do we look at it being a cash flow item? I mean, I think that's a policy decision that comes out is do we need to increase the reimbursement for the cost of this important program? And so, you know, with the amendment that you have before you, that decision, the policy decision that's being put before this body is one, can we do this more efficiently, more effectively, cheaper? Do we need to shift some of those costs over to those people that are utilizing the lakes, that are putting their boats out there? Because the program does protect that recreational activity, whether it's fishing or boating. So I do think the amendment's worthy of discussion and worthy of looking at. I don't think anyone's saying that we need to cut this program. I don't think anyone's saying the program isn't important. What we're doing is looking at the policy decision of how do we pay for this program.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I need to push back against this amendment. I'm not on TRW. I wasn't on the task force. But I'm on Select Water, and I took a tour of the lower Colorado River Basin. I saw firsthand the devastation that is doing down in the gambling state, the cactus state. It's horrible. And it's kind of like the old TV commercial we used to see on TV a lot about an oil filter. It was like, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. So if we don't keep this funded, and maybe the last speaker is absolutely right. Maybe we do need to look at changing it. But on a third reading budget amendment is not the time to do it. So on and against this amendment, we need to keep these mussels out of our lakes, not just because of fishing and recreation, because of what it's going to do to other systems, like the power systems down southern Colorado River. It's pathetic. They're spending billions of dollars down there. So cutting 800,000 might seem prudent right now, but it's not. If we want to look at it next year during a general session, that's fine by me. Third reading budget amendment is not the way to go on this one. Thanks.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I stand on and against this amendment. I think the Game and Fish is faced with a whole host of challenges, and they all require money, and I think this one's no different. And I think we just need to stay the course on this, and if we really want to increase user fees for this program, then we do that, and we bring that as a bill, but not in an amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Okay. Representative Yagi. I'm sorry. Representative Klim, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Just to be clear, what we're saying here is we're asking the Game and Fish Commission to use their reserve, that $70 million that they have. And so that's really the question before you. Fund it with the $70 million that you have sitting there, or we use general funds in which we're in a structural deficit, as everybody knows, and it's going to come out of the LSRA. So it's really, where do you want this funding to come out of? And with that, I would say vote aye. Thanks.
Anyone else for a second time? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Good discussion. Glad we are able to kind of revisit this. And the idea when we started this, we wanted it to be cost neutral. But the fees that we had, $10, whatever, just didn't generate enough. So we had to put in general funds. And we did put in $1 million to start with, and then we've raised it a little bit. And our speaker was exactly right on everything he said. But I think the Game and Fish came to us with the problem, and we kind of solved it together and went along with it, saying we would try to fund this, make it cost neutral. We went through all the decals and how to do that is most efficient to have less problem for our resident voters. They don't have to go through the check station all the time and be inspected. They could just show the little thing and go right through. So we did come up with all of those, and it's absolutely right. This isn't about the program. The program's a good program. We want the program, and as both sides have said, it is a needed one. The only problem or the only concern we have is they didn't have enough money to take care of it, and the decal didn't raise the money, and so that's the wise thing to do, take it out of general funds. But now they have enough money to take care of half of it. That's $800,000. I just think that's a wise thing to do and save our general fund money. That's what we're doing here in this budget. We've been trying to save general fund money, not rob out of our savings, and this is one way I think we can help a little bit. So I'd appreciate your vote, appreciate the discussion we've had, helping everybody understand the aquatic invasive species. Thank you.
All right, the question before us is on third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1 has failed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. As I said, third reading amendment number 5 fails. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 31 to House Bill 1. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I bring to you third reading amendment, number 31 to House Bill 1. And this is a little bit of a do-up on an amendment that was brought on Wednesday. This still aims to bring money forward to the WildLink program for mainly for portable boosters and towers to expand the network where needed. But if you'll notice, on Wednesday what we did was simply tried to take $4 million out of general fund. Today we've, I think, got a lot better way of going about this. We're not increasing the budget. We're not spending additional money here. The only thing that we're doing is, if you look, says at page 26, line 10, from under other funds is $4 million. That money is already there. It already exists. That is not an increase of any kind. And then also, we are decreasing the money out of mineral royalties. So, once again, this is not increasing the budget. We are not spending more money, and I think that would do a lot of good for local communities, counties, and towns both, whether it be their search and rescue, their sheriff's departments, whatever it might be. So I would stand for any questions, and thank you very much.
Chairman Harsh.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, just a little more information on this. And so it's kind of an interesting amendment. I think I applaud the whip for looking at this a different way. And I just a little history on where this money is. This is from the Mineral Royalty Grant Program. This is the $33 million that flows under the cap. So we don't even, it's not an appropriation even issue. It's under the cap flows to the 5 elected officials that they can go around the state and do mineral royalty grants. So it goes back to local government. You might recall last budget, 2 years ago, we trimmed $3 million out of that. That $33 million, we cut $3 million. It was partially, you couldn't veto all of it because it was written in such a way that it couldn't be vetoed, but it was just left hanging out there. And so then you'll recall last year we came back and we appropriated that $3 million for passing lanes design and then also for courthouse security. So it went back to local type projects, but we had that $3 million, which we thought as JC was maybe this body ought to have a little say in some of those local government kind of special projects. Okay? We didn't do that this year, and I'll tell you frankly, we were too busy and it kind of got past us. My intent was to cut that even a little more and have a little more money sitting out there so we can address some of these issues as representatives of the people and our cities and towns and counties. So, and then what we learned this year in the budget is there's $5.2 million that is carried over several biennia in this mineral royalty grant. And I think there's an amendment to take 1.2 or something that's coming up for this, for the local costs coming out of that money that's just kind of built up over time. So that leaves about the $4 million, and that's where this amendment comes in, is to use that $4 million from mineral royalty grants from previous biennia and then take 1.6 out of the 33. So that's, and that would leave the 31.4 or whatever that number is. So in that program. And again, these are those towers in Rock Springs, Evanston, Jackson, Buffalo, and Newcastle. So that's the whole story on this and how he's trying to do that. I just want to make sure everybody, whether it affects your vote or not. So thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Greer.
You know, I rise in opposition to the amendment, and I think we discussed this 2 days ago with the same way with the overall program. You know, we have a shift in the funding of the costs of this program. The next amendment that comes up helps with that shift, but the end game is to push the cost of this program down to the local governments. And I resist building out the program further at this point in time until we know how that policy shift goes. And again, these are the portable towers, and these are for the handheld or the personal, for the use of the personal communications, not what the original WildLink was built out for, which was a council and the dealing with the dispatchers. You know, just because we've changed the funding source doesn't mean that the policy decision has changed. So I'm opposed to this particular amendment, kind of like the next one coming up.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll also rise against this motion. And folks, it's, as you know, that this fund of $5.2 million has been built up over time. And so we're saying this is the most important priority for these funds. And I would just respectfully submit that this is not the most important thing to use for these funds. And hopefully we'll preserve some of these funds for our next supplemental budget and for the future years when things get a little bit tougher. So on and against.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would ask you to resist these funds for a little different reason. A number of our communities already have these towers and these portable radios that they purchased out of their own funds. They felt it was important enough to do this for their communities. And they did it. They had some state help, but not at this level. So consider those, you know, they've already gone out there and said, yes, we want to participate, and we're willing to put our money into that. Where these just give funds to others to do the same thing, I would encourage those communities to make their priorities a little tighter. We just recently, just in a previous bill this morning, gave them some additional money from what was requested. So there is additional money there. They prioritize their own money and decide what's most important to them. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Somers.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, thank you. I think one thing we heard the other day that I really hadn't thought of before on this issue, and I may be wrong, and the good majority whip will clear it up, but, you know, these portable antennas really could be used in situations of emergency in more remote areas of Wyoming where we don't have great service. So I think we have to think of that, number one. And then the funding source. So the good majority whip found a pot of money that people are trying to get a state, you know, keep closed, you know, so we can appropriate in a supplemental budget. My question to you guys, will that be appropriated to projects that are going to help basically counties around the state, or will that be just more CapCon?
Anyone else for their first time? For your first time, for your second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Greer?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I just want to address the last comment. Those funds were used for the court security measures for the smaller counties last time. These funds are being utilized in this budget this time to help defray the costs associated with using the Wild Lake system. And again, there's another amendment coming up to extend that for another year.
So these funds are being used down to the local level.
For your second time, Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Just a little more information that, you know, that when it says portable towers, these are for portable handheld radios. The towers themselves aren't going to move around. They are. It is for those first responders with the radios. We have these in much of the state, except for these five areas that I talked about. Just so we're clear on that part. And then I would say this, that it was stated that we have other priorities for these funds. I will tell you that we have no say in the priority of these funds unless we act in this budget. Because if we, there that $5 million, actually it's, and there's another amendment, it's 1.3 is already taken out of it, but that whole amount, the five electeds just decide. They decide what they want to do with it. So that's the issue. And we're not going to, this money, we're not going to come back and later appropriate. Whether it's there or not, we won't have any say in it. Just to be clear how this works, we've already appropriated it to the SLIB board. This amendment would pull some of that out for our appropriation. Okay.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time prior to the sponsor, Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And I would just like to thank the good Chairman of Appropriations for his assistance and his understanding and knowledge with all this and how it all balances out and works. I think that this makes this a much better amendment than what was brought on Wednesday. And I would like to remind the body that, you know, while we are giving direct distribution to local cities and counties, you know, that, and it has received a boost in recent days, there are plenty of communities around the state that have already invested quite a bit of resources, quite a bit of money into this, and with just a little bit more, they can expand this by, I would say, a substantial amount for certain situations, emergency situations, and I think that it could be very helpful to smaller communities and those that are farther away from larger assets and resources in emergency situations. So I strongly urge your support on the amendment. Thank you.
The question before us is third reading amendment number 31 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. Division being called, all those in favor, please stand. We'll go ahead and just say that that's failed. ladies and gentlemen, on your green sheet, I want to give you a couple of updates or changes on it as you're organizing your amendments. If you go to page 2 of the green sheet, those amendments listed as 29 and 30, which is third reading amendment number 47 and third reading number 48 need to be swapped in order. 48 will be heard first, and then 47 will be heard. If you go to your the next page, which is the third page of the sheet, at the bottom, that amendment listed as 40 as number 48, which is third reading amendment number 43, you can strike that one. You'll see it's listed above. And my apologies to Representative Steinmetz, but we aren't going to hear your amendment twice. So. And then on the final page, between what are marked as 52 and 53, and that's third reading amendment number 55 and third reading amendment number 45, please insert third reading amendment 57, H3057. That will be heard next to last. And with those changes, the next amendment before us is amendment third reading amendment number 27 to House Bill 1. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I bring to you Amendment Number 27 to House Bill Number 1. As you know, this is another Wyolink, and as it is now, there's $1.4 million that will be used by agencies until those local capital construction money, which is the way that's described in the bill under definitions, which we found out is the mineral royalty grant money, so until it's exhausted. What I'm trying to do is take another additional $1.346 million, which is new money again, and use it to fund it for 2 years to look at those WildLink fees and just push them out there a little bit farther. I stand for questions. Oh, wait, let's read the last little part. Line 10 on page 27, any changes to local governments shall be deducted from the appropriation from the local government capital construction account. That's that account I'm talking about. Until the 2.746, which is the appropriation, is exhausted, which is those county fees. That affects every county in this state, and it's good for all of them. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I want everybody to be real clear about where the money is shifting around here. This amendment is not about local government trying to get out of paying their share of WildLink. It's quite the opposite. The money that the amendment uses to cover the user's fees is local government capital construction money. Here's the thing, though. Even though it's set aside for local governments, they can't get at it unless we authorize its use. You might say, well, we're all frustrated with WildLink, so why don't we just take that money and spend it ourselves or transfer it to savings? We tried that. The man downstairs, well, formerly downstairs, actually vetoed that, and it's supposed to be used for local government. So this money is stuck. The locals can't spend it, and we can't do anything with it. They've asked us to let them use it for their share of WildLink, so let's let them do it.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would encourage your aye vote on this. This does help all the communities with that funding and this fee for service and helps them kind of get their feet on the ground with this. Like I said, a lot of communities are already up and running on WildLink. Their fees are going to be fairly substantial to them and their budgets. So I would encourage your support on this. I think this is a good compromise for all the discussion we've had on WildLink. So,
Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Just a process point in support of this amendment. The way the bill is written now, we would be assessing fees to the local governments based on what appears to be incomplete information and a formula that may or may not be correct. And so another reason to use this money before we start assessing fees is to actually make sure we have a fee system that will work. So there's also a process reason in addition to a money reason to support this amendment.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Again, just to be clear, this is the mineral royalty grant program that we just talked about in the last budget item. And so when you go down to line 20 of the amendment, this makes this a two-year appropriation. We had in the budget already 1 year, and what this amendment's trying to do then is draw from that and make this a two-year appropriation.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Pownell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm very familiar with the WildLink and the issues that they've had with it. With the reception. I voted against the form name, but I am in favor of this amendment. It will assist the counties that are still having issues. There is still a lot of issues as far as reception and getting the calls to the officers out on the streets. So I think this will help, and I would urge your support of this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Northrup.
I just urge your support on this amendment. Thank you.
The question before us is third reading amendment number 27 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. And it does involve a change in funds, so a roll call is required. The chief clerk will please call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan. Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 7 no.
By your vote, you have approved third reading amendment number 27 to House Bill 1. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1. Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I would like to move third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1. I will try to be brief, as I usually do, and tell you why I'm bringing this amendment. This is my third budget session here, and it's like one that we've never had before. The last two that I've been involved in, we had surplus funds in such huge amounts that basically we got to keep everybody happy. So I stand here committed, firm on my vote, in order to make reductions in certain areas of our spending in state government. And when I vote in favor of reduction funds in areas such as K through 12, I felt it was my duty to look real hard and to dig into things and say what things are out there that really, really aren't pertinent to our basic services we should be delivering. And so for the first time, I mean, I think we all have worked harder than we have in past sessions, because this isn't easy. But I believe very firmly that we need to leave here, as we have to constitutionally, with a balanced budget. So in looking in some of the things in the Department of Transportation, in looking at our aircraft, we have two jets, and trying to find and do some research on that, I could not find another state that has two jets. In fact, most states don't have any. Most states, it seems like, contract out with either a charter service or let somebody that's in the aviation business for real run the planes for them, instead of trying to have a state-run airline service, basically. This will save basically $2 million, and I just think it's a good move. I don't think we need two jets in our fleet. I think that we should be well suited with one, and any other travel, if there's a conflict in time, they can fly commercial or charter a plane. So I ask you to vote in favor of this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone for the first time? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. This is not an appropriate thing to do on a third reading amendment. It's a way complicated subject. It involves staging lengths, all kinds of costs, and how those airplanes are used. Now, I heard the statement, there's not another state that has two jets. I don't know if that's true or not, but there's not another state that's got a state capital stuff clear down in the corner of the state either, where virtually anywhere you go is a major trip. And we know that people out in our state expect to see the governor. And we cannot have the governor out there driving, racking up windshield time. That's not what our governor's for. So that's just a start. Now, the people in this state expect to see their other elected officials as well. And this is, this, in my opinion, is a very efficient way to transport them. It's a very efficient way to use our resources. So if you're going to do something like this on third reading amendment, at least you ought to be able to stand up here with reams of empirical data that says there's a more efficient way to do this. And then I heard the statement, well, give it to somebody that's in the aviation business. Believe me, if you've ridden on that state plane, if you've seen our operation, we're in the aviation business. We are. This is not some left-handed deal of some kind. We're fully committed to the aviation business. And then I heard, well, maybe they could fly commercial instead. Has anybody tried to fly commercial out of Cheyenne to go anywhere else in the state of Wyoming? And you might be able to do it to a couple of places, but the first thing you're going to do is deadhead back to Denver and then go from there. So we need, and here's another thing about these airplanes. They are fully, I checked into this last year for another reason. They are fully funded as we go. There are sinking funds in there. There is maintenance that's done on those airplanes, and that maintenance is all accounted for in each hour that the airplane's flown. And so, for instance, they changed out the engines on one of the airplanes. That was all paid for. The money was in the bank because it was accrued as a maintenance fund as it went along. And then it was interesting how they did that. They rented an engine. That's the way it's done. They rented an engine so that we could keep the airplane in service. So what they do is take the airplane to the service facility. They pull one engine, put the rented engine on, and the airplane's back in service. Then they overhaul the engine, take whatever time they need. Then the airplane comes in. The new engine's put on. The other engine's pulled off. That's done. And then when they're done, the rented engine goes out. We're back on our own engines, and that's all paid for. It's all in the program. So then you got to look at the lifespan of these airplanes, and that's measured in these pressurized airplanes, which are by what are called cycles. And as I recall, I don't have the exact numbers with me. I didn't know this was coming. We're somewhere into 5,000 cycles in these airplanes, and with a lifespan of about 25,000 cycles. We're not even halfway to the number of cycles in these airplanes. And so another thing that we've heard from time to time is sell them and buy one of the newer turboprop airplanes. Well, that's tricky business because these airplanes have a utility that's not necessarily reflected in what you could get for them on a trade-in. And then the other thing is you trade a jet for a propeller airplane, you'd say, there, we're running cheaper. Yes, you're running cheaper, but you're in the air longer. It takes more time for the propeller airplane to cover the distance. So you got to net it out. There's a lot of tricky math in there about how it's done. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that two jets is the absolute end of the world best way to go. But I'm going to sit here and tell you that there's a lot of analysis and tricky math that needs to go into the equation. It needs to be considered before a decision like this is made. And a third reading amendment with this dearth of information we have is not the way to do it. So I'd urge you to vote against this amendment.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and in support of this amendment, and I couldn't agree with the previous speaker more. Folks around this vast state do need to see the executive, but does the executive need two planes to be seen? I think one plane would be sufficient, and I would urge the passage of this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. We've had this issue come into our committee, and you know, the Aeronautics Division, we asked for a big study, and to kind of consolidate what Mr. Speaker had said, in that study, they looked at all the variables, and there's a ton of variables. I mean, it's just not a dollar and cent sort of situation. And what they found is that for the state of Wyoming, it is positive. And I mean, that's the bottom line. It is positive as compared to selling one of the planes and trying to do the charter thing. So this study, I think, came out. I bet the Appropriations Committee got one, but it's a relatively new thing, like a year or two ago. And so bottom line, I would say do not vote for this. If you're real serious about it, we can let everybody look at the study, and I think you'll see that the study overall says it's beneficial for the state of Wyoming.
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, pro tem. I rise on in support of this amendment. I didn't really come here to give anybody a geography lesson, but I did fortunately live in a previous life in the largest state in the nation, which had one single airplane. The governor of that state at the time ran for vice president of the United States, and one of her famous statements was to say that when she took the governorship, she put the lone state's airplane up for sale on eBay to save the state money. If they can do that on a state that covers four time zones, we can afford a downsize in Wyoming. Thank you.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and for the amendment, just a couple other facts, and these might not be current because the time I did the research, I think, was about 2 years ago. But at that time, the 50 states combined owned a total of four jets. Wyoming owned two. The other 49 states combined to own two. To me, that's a little excessive. And the cost difference between operating a jet and a turboprop is very significant. The time distance of the extra time that you spend in the air per trip within the state is measured in minutes, not hours. So when you're talking about, saving a few thousand dollars in fuel costs for the trip versus saving 15 minutes of time, to me that's a pretty easy trade-off to make. And in response to the number of cycles and our current state planes being very low in their number of cycles, well, the thing that determines the value that you get out of a used jet is those cycles. So if you waited until the cycles were almost used up and sold it right when all the maintenance was due, you would get significantly less money. So there's not really a loss to the state there. So those are just some things I thought I'd share, and I would encourage you to vote for this amendment.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this body, as we talk about taking the government to the people, we have to realize that that's just not the governor. We take the government to the state, too, and we do that in our interim as we meet in committees all around the state. And when we take the government to the people in these committees, then we require the agencies that oversee these things that we do to be there as well. And so you'll have your committee number 10 will be meeting clear up in the north part of the state one day with some agencies that need to testify and help us understand programs. And that same agency will have to report to another committee clear over on the next to the state to the east of us on the next day. And so those agencies use, and so when you talk about just needing one plane, that's fine if you only have one, if it solely is the executive officer of the state. But the other agencies use it as well. And that comes out of their budget. They budget for that. They assess and see how much that's going to cost, and they pay for that out of their budget. It's been a very efficient way that allows us to take the government to the people and let the people of this state see how we do business. And I would urge you to defeat this amendment.
Representative Somers.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I stand neither in support or against really this amendment, but I do want to kind of reflect on something that my good friend from the center of the state just spoke on. Before I became a representative, I was a citizen that was on a state board. And I don't know if I would have been able to serve on that board if it wasn't for once in a while getting picked up on that state plane. And there were other citizens that had the opportunity to serve on boards or task force that probably wouldn't have been able to serve if they hadn't been able to get a ride. So it is used by a lot of people. And I'm, like I said, I don't know that I'm for or against the amendment, but there are a lot of uses other than the chief executive on this.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Again, neither for or against. I just think that there's some more discussion we haven't had. Last I knew, we had six different pilots for these two aircraft. I don't know what happens if we sell one where the other two people's jobs, if they go away, if we're forced to lay them off. We have some maintenance. We just built a new hangar to fit both planes in. So I do think there's just more at play. And I remember when we had, you know, some good years here about 8 years ago, you put amendments like this in the budget, and be careful what you wish for, because this doesn't say we can't buy another plane or they can't do something else. And so I think the amendment needs to have a little bit more work, but now that it's third reading, it's probably too late for that. So I'd just be cautious, because there is a lot more at play that this amendment doesn't actually address in the greater scheme of what YDOT does with these aircraft.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, we've been talking a lot about flying all over the state in the plane and agencies testifying, all of that. But with the advances in technology, maybe we need to look at some of those things and use some of our technology in a more wise way. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker pro tem. On and for the amendment. This amendment does a couple of good things. Well, number one, I would just pose a question to the body, and that's simply this. For states who do not have a state plane, how do they get around? Because certainly they have transportation needs as well. And I would contend that they charter planes. I don't think they fly commercial, but I do believe that they charter flights. And if we really needed to go ahead and charter flights, I'm sure we could do that. If you look there, not only does this sell a plane, but we also have an interesting number here. If you look down on page or at line number 11 of the amendment, it talks about that $3,844 per hour of air travel. And currently our departments, from what I have, am told, is they're paying roughly around $1,200, so adequately low for what the costs actually are. So not only does this sell a state plane that we really don't need, but also it actually increases the cost to those agencies to pay what it really costs to fly. So on and for the amendment.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I urge no vote on this. We had a governor who ran on a campaign to do away with the planes in Wyoming's, I guess what you'd call, pocket. As soon as he got into the office and he looked at what the responsibilities and the issues that they had to touch on around the state and sometimes even outside of the state, he needed a plane. And or two planes. And he said, that was the dumbest thing I ever said. I thought it would work, but it doesn't. And so just think about that. A guy ran on that. As soon as he got the office, he found out he really needed it.
Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I also urge the body to vote no. A lot of states, they also have passenger rail service that they're able to get around on. I can remember one time when we were looking at state facilities where some members of us on JAC had to go around the state and look at all those within one day, and the governor was back east on the other plane, so on and against.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Just a little more info, and I pulled up, if you go to SharePoint, you can go to the calendar that last Wednesday of our appropriation, pull up the report. This has been a lively issue in appropriations the last, really, 4 years, the last two budget cycles. We talk about it every year, though. And there's a lot of issues with this, but I've heard two brought up today. The one that it's why not have this chartered or buy, like, a fractional piece of a jet, like many businesses do, and have so you have that on-demand kind of deal. And so we ask those questions. And then the other issue is, you know, who's using it and what's it being used for? And then the other piece was, is this plane, the Encore, that Citation, that small jet, is that the most efficient? Or would you rather have a different turboprop airplane that state used to have? And I actually was a freshman and came in with the previous governor, and I remember those comments. And I remember in our first caucus, he said, these are private conversations, I guess. But he said, you know, you can go ahead and sell them if you want. But, you know, and so that was that whole deal. And then later on, I think a good representative from the center of state referenced it right. So here's the questions we ask in JAC, and we've got this report. Can we save money by doing a charter or fractional? their information, which they bring back to us, it's actually cheaper at this point now because these planes are 13 years old to just stick with these planes. If we were going to sell them, we should have sold them in 2003 when they were a month or two old. Now you look at the what's the fair market value, and it's all in this report, and I was just kind of reading it during the debate. We can expect to get about $2.5 million from the sale of this jet. So that's it. And then if, you know, however you want to do. Now, going way back to why this Encore was purchased and we didn't stay with what we had were the turboprops. We've always had planes. Didn't like these are new. And the reason, justification was because these can take off and land at these small airports all around the state and operate at some high altitude runways, short runways around the state. Now, some of those turboprops could do the same thing. So there's this thing. I would just tell you, we have looked at this issue and beat it up pretty good. I don't think, and we've made these motions in committee, and we've come round and round to saying, if we were not going to have these jets, it probably should have been years ago. We got rid of them, stayed with the turboprops. But I think now it's like an old car. It's paid for. And, I think we're just going to get rid of something and have to give back into something that's going to cost us more money later on. Finally, who uses these? You can see the use reports, too, on SharePoint. YDOT, the governor, and interestingly enough, parole board uses it a lot. And so we asked the question, what about parole board? Why do they have to? And then we're kind of told, you just think about what parole board involves. And if you want to actually get citizens to actually sit on that board and travel quarterly to our penitentiaries to meet with inmates, and sometimes we have to travel out of state. We do have a few instances where we have an inmate out of state. And so in the end, our judgment was, this horse has probably left the barn, and we're just going to kind of stay. But I think it's an issue that we always watch. And, there's a lot of study in this. You can read the report, look at car mileage, to Jackson and back and all those things. But I just tell you, we've beat this issue up, and we've voted against it. So thank you.
We're still on the first time. Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I've been in the charter business. I've been a charter pilot. I don't think this airplane deal is kind of like lawyers. Why do we have in-house lawyers? I'll tell you why we have in-house lawyers. They're cheaper than farming the workout, way cheaper. And it's the same way with these airplanes. You got to get to a certain scale before it breaks over. I'll grant you that. But at a certain scale, you're going to do better owning the airplanes and operating the airplanes yourself than you're going to do doing it with a charter company. And it's kind of like I had a client one time, and we went to Denver for depositions, and we were eating lunch, and I grabbed from my wallet, and he said, I'll pay the bill. He said, I'd rather pay it now than get it from you later with 10% added on. Okay? That's what we're talking about with the charter company. Do you want to pay it now, or do you want to run it through a charter company and add on 10%? A charter company, especially with on-demand requirements like we put on these airplanes, is going to charge a lot of money. You can't leave two pilots, sitting somewhere until 1 or 2 in the morning and then fly the airplane home and not expect to pay for it. So facts, economics, numbers is what we need. The two-plane thing has probably been beat to death, but there's a lot of people that use it. The legislature uses it from time to time. I don't know how many of you have been on the state plane at one time or another. I personally think that we ought to be doing some cost-benefit analysis that we're not doing, and the legislature ought to be using it more, because when you look at the mileage and per diem that we pay for a meeting, if it's a one-day meeting and people need to be in the same place somewhere, there's a lot of economies to be argued for having that jet leave in the morning and make a circle around the state and pick everybody up, have a meeting, leave, go around the circle and drop everybody off. And I've been on some task forces where we did that because the economics worked out that way. Now, I hear this thing, well, a minute or two doesn't make any difference. Listen, the next amendment that's coming, the bringer of this amendment has got a number in there, $64 a minute. 15 minutes is worth almost $1,000. Now, you can balance a jet against a turboprop. I'm telling you, these numbers get big in a hurry. And so I don't think that's a very good argument. So I would ask you to vote against this. It's not appropriate on a third reading amendment. There's a whole lot. I'm not even saying he's wrong. I'm just saying before you do something like this, it shouldn't be done on a third reading amendment. It ought to be after the kind of analysis that the JAC has at its disposal and some careful consideration and a lot of tricky math about what's the best way to do it. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Lux.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Wow. Thank you for the robust debate and conversation and to get this before us and look at. With all due respect to the speaker, I want to bring out a couple things. There is another state that has a capital that's tucked down in a corner also, and that's was mentioned earlier as the biggest state in the nation, and they're in the same situation. They don't have two jets. I really didn't want to get into discussion in turboprop versus jets, but I don't believe that using the jets as opposed to a turboprop is anything efficient, because if you look at most of the legs they travel, they can't get to altitude to even have any efficiency in their operation. That aside, I wish you would vote in favor of this amendment. Thank you.
All right. The question before us is third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 1. Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I'd like to move House third reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 1, and I'll give my explanation on that. This amendment basically makes us have to look at the real figures. As a previous speaker said, the figure's huge. I believe that the 4 of the 5 executive branches should be charged the actual figure, including the depreciation for these aircraft. It comes out to $38.44 out of the report from October of 2014. Right now, if you look at that, the good chairman of appropriations said, that report that we all had available to us on the usage, we're charging $1,230 roughly per flight hour. I believe there'd be more accountability in our departments if they were charged the true amount of what that jet cost to use. And with that, I ask for your A vote.
Anyone else on the amendment? Mr. Speaker.
You speak of everything I've ever... Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I actually agree with this amendment and would urge you to vote aye. There's been an argument that's raised. It's raised in the other body more than here, but it's raised for a long time that these agencies can be somewhat irresponsible about their use of the aircraft because their particular agency budget is not feeling the full impact of operating it. And I actually think this is a pretty reasonable number. It's not inflated to describe the operations of this aircraft, and I think when they use it, it ought to debit against their budget for that amount. So on in favor of the amendment.
Anyone else on the amendment?
I'm so excited. I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but everything I've ever brought, the speaker spoke against. So I
no, that is not appropriate, but... All right, question being called on third reading amendment 7 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 54 to House Bill 1. Chairman Harshman. Third reading amendment 54.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Members, I just sent you an email. If you'd click on your email, and this is what I'm trying to fix with this. And I want to explain the amendment, and you can decide whether it's appropriate or not. And so I just sent you an email, and the first paragraph of this, and that's why I had it written in two paragraphs so it could be easily divided. The first paragraph says, notwithstanding, 25-10-1-1-12. Now, if you read the LSO memo on what's appropriate in a budget, that's a red light in a budget bill to notwithstand current statute. We've done that a lot over the years. We're really trying not to now in this budget. But if you read that email, this is the problem I'm trying to just put a hold on until we can study it. And I don't know if this is the right fix or not, but I think as we all represent people and you hear you get a story like this, I try to come up with a solution. So it really goes into how you charge for Title 25. And if you go into that 25-10-1-12 and particularly paragraph D as in dog, it says that the provider will bill the patient and the insurance company, and they will go after them for the cost of involuntary commitments. Now, I asked my lawyer friends, and I haven't got the deal back from the lawyers that used to be downstairs, and you talk to lawyers, it's like talking to anybody, you'll get a different opinion, or a doctor, or a football coach probably, but I think many of my friends in this room who are attorneys would say, you're involuntarily committed. You can tell them to go pound sand, and you are involuntarily committed. And you'll see the problem in this email. Involuntary commitment comes out, gets multiple thousands of dollars worth of bills. They can't pay, but it just keeps piling on. They keep coming. So the idea is to suspend that till we can study this. And most of these don't, I don't know the percentage that get paid by insurance or very few. These fights go on for a long time. And then because they are, in fact, involuntary commitments. And then paragraph B, which I think is a green light, requires a report to study this issue. And so we can maybe bring legislation to fix this. So that's the deal. You read the email, I got the statute, paragraph D in there at the top, and then I highlighted the piece where the problem exists. So there's probably more of our friends in the legal profession know more about this, and I'd like to hear from them. So thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Just a question for the chairman. Under this language, would it be your intention that the first 72 hours, which is usually attributable to the county, that would be suspended as well? So it would shift all of that burden to the Department of Health? And I just wanted to know your thoughts on how that would work.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'd like to move to divide the amendment. Division one would be the 8A, and division two would be the B. I don't know the language up above. It's line.
You'll have to do line one.
Line one and 5 through 9, line 3 and 11 through 18. Division 1 being 1 and 5 through 9, Division 2 being 3 and 11 through 18. I believe that's the correct.
I'm going to rule that that's divisible. And do you want to go ahead and take 1 first?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. So Division 1 being the 8, line 5 through 9. Ladies and gentlemen, I think this probably isn't appropriate to go in a budget bill, and I would argue that we have other venues available to us in this session that we will be able to address this from the floor in the appropriate manner. So I would urge your no vote on Division 1.
Okay, we are on the first time on Division 1. Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. So, again, I that's why I wrote this, so it could be divided. I think as for my first time, I want to answer the question from the good representative from Park County. This, notwithstanding, does not affect the first 3 days where the county's
responsible for. It's only this billing piece that comes after that.
Representative Gurr.
Yeah, I don't want to go on very much, but I hate to go against my chairman, but I do think we need to vote no on Division One, and it's just simply this notwithstanding language. Trying to get that out of the budget, and I understand there are some bills where we can address that even yet this session, and so I'd like to try to attempt to do that, you know, and I agree in this situation. You know, if someone comes to me, I tell them go pound sand, but then they got to pay me to get that advice, and we really shouldn't have to do that. So I understand the issue. We need to address the issue. I don't want to see this budget footnote in this particular budget, and I'm trusting here my good friend from Campbell County that we do it in another bill. So vote no on that, and yes on Division 2.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 1? For your second time on Division
One. Thank you, and members, and I think there is a bill still in play that will be coming to us. Maybe we can address the first division, and that's why I brought it to you, divisible, and that is certainly the red light and notwithstanding language. So thank you.
Anyone else for their second time? Okay, the question we're on is Division One, which is lines 5 through 9. Third reading amendment number 54 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. That has failed. We are now on Division 2. For your first time on Division 2, Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And I would urge the body to actually approve Division 2. This is something that we need to be looking at. This was something that we had a task force that looked at this type of issue through the interim, and maybe this would be part of what the task force takes up too, and the department can report to us as part of that. So I think this is very appropriate, and if folks want to take a look at that 2510-112, it is very confusing in its current form and does need some hard look at it. So I would urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Division 2, Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I will be voting for Division 2. Just for a point of clarification, I hope that when they do this study, they also do consider the first 72 hours where there is a significant burden for the counties and the state, and I think they need help in dealing with that as well. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Again, that's the thing about serving in this body. You learn a lot. I never had any clue about, even thought about an issue like this. So appreciate your aye vote, and we can maybe fix this issue out there. So thank you.
Right. The question we have before us is Division 2 of Third Reading Amendment Number 54. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Division 2 has passed. The next amendment for our consideration is Third Reading Amendment Number 8 to House Bill 1. And Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Third Reading Amendment Number 8 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration on this. Folks, as we've talked over this session, I think you've come to understand that we have several committees and several task forces really trying to address one of the 800-pound gorillas in the room, and that is the cost we have associated with public health. We've talked about how we've given the department that oversees that some flexibility to adjust their budget and move things around. We have two task forces working on, one on Title 25, one working on the state facilities, and these are actually interrelated. What we're trying to do is figure out more efficient ways in using state and federal funds to take care of populations that need different kinds of health. And one of the key components, cost-saving components to this whole puzzle is our community service providers that take care in the least restrictive way those who have intellectual developmental disabilities and many of our people who have organic brain syndrome, which we refer to as acquired brain injuries. I want to share with you, what this bill does, or this amendment does, is put an additional $750,000 out of general funds into the Department of Health's under a footnote to be used for the Medicaid waiver serving this population. That then again will be matched with $750,000 of federal funds. We've taken some programs out of the Department of Health and which that needed to be taken out. We had a great amendment on second reading, excuse me, that took $4 million out of that department and reduced a couple of programs that really didn't need to be there anymore. We put $2 million of that into another program and left $2 million to go back to general funds. And so I'm kind of using the abstract that this $750,000 would come out of that $2 million that was originally in that department. Now, I'd like to just share with you the position of these community providers for you to help you understand why I think we need the additional amounts in there. In 2008, we adopted, this body adopted a cost-based reimbursement model for these providers and funded at that point, which brought them up to about anywhere from probably on an average of 90% of their actual costs. Then the following year, in 2009, they got a 10% cut in all of their reimbursements. The following year, so we're 10% behind at that point. The following year, we got 6% back, so we're still 4% less than we were in 2008. In 2012, we had the governor recommended a 1.5% increase. That was removed, so we're still 4% behind 2008. In 2013, 1% cuts in 1% cuts in reimbursements, so they took another cut. So now we're 5% less than we were in 2008. 2014, we had a waiver design that results in 3% overall cuts. So currently, we're about 8% behind what they were in 2008. Then we have a rebasing study that took place. And the interest, and you've heard us lament over that rebasing study, and the real problem with that rebasing study is they took that study and based it on their current funding, which is 4% or 8% less than it was in 2008. So it wasn't really representative of the position of the providers. And at the same time, since 2008, we decreased that funding, but we've also increased the requirements by the department and by the federal government for the providers on the type of care they provide. And we're going to address some of those state rules, but we still have an increased number of rules there. And so that's my rationale with trying to help them in the overall cost savings. If we can keep these folks, these citizens of our state in these community services in towns, close to their homes, it is significantly cheaper than what it would be if it were in a state facility. So with that, I'd humbly request your aye vote.
For your first time, Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I kind of have a question here because I didn't hear about the action that we took last year, and the my fellow JAC member from the Capital City and I worked very hard to put $1.5 million of general funds into this program last year, which was then rolled into the standard budget and biennialized, which is $3 million additional dollars that are matched. And so I didn't hear that in the narrative. And so, you know, we did that last year to try to address this particular issue, and now we're seeing a request for more funds on this. You know, it's difficult to have to push back on this amendment, but unless I get a clear explanation of that, and I'm a no vote on this.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'd rise in opposition to this. As the previous, I think I can answer the previous speaker's question, which is yes, last session, 2014, we put $1.5 million in general fund into this or state money into it and $1.5 matching federal funds, $3 million in that on a request. Now we have another request for $750 from each. We have studies ongoing. We had a cost study done which said that last session's money that we put in there was the appropriate number. I think we need to look at this in more than a third reading budget amendment. Long-term, what do we do with the providers? How do we pay them? And those sorts of things. We can't just be knee-jerking because somebody says, gee, we'd like more money. Well, all of us would. So I think really this needs to be looked at in the interim, long-term, come up with some specific goals and directions for rebasing so that we can do the right thing by the providers and the right thing by the who pays the rates. On and against the amendment.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I rise in favor of this amendment. And to be clear, we have put more money to this, and that money was necessary. And ladies and gentlemen, I would submit to you that this is necessary too. These are our most vulnerable citizens, and the folks that are doing this work are the industry, if you will, the folks providing these services, they are vulnerable too. We have to have them providing these services. And it does take money to hire people to provide the very difficult services and environment that they are in. You cannot, this is not, this is tough stuff that's being done on our behalf. So, while it's true, we have a rebasing. Recall that in a previous reading, we had a couple of amendments that went to this issue of the rebasing. And folks, we're not confident with what was done in that study. The committee charged with overseeing with this type of program, et cetera, we looked at it too, and we're not confident in what was done in that. We think it is actually makes our providers vulnerable, and if our providers are vulnerable financially, then those vulnerable citizens we have in the state are the most vulnerable. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would urge you to accept this amendment. We'll continue to understand what the costs are and how we can best address them. But things are at a critical point right now about this very important role that we in government provide to those among us who need assistance. And these folks do need our assistance. Thank you for your favorable consideration.
Representative Somers.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, thank you. I stand on in support of this amendment. Not only is it a very challenged population, but in Wyoming, because of our very rural nature, it is very hard to get providers in rural Wyoming to help care for these very challenged individuals. It is a difficult task, and we need to support this effort and keep pushing ahead because we just cannot leave these people behind.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and in support of this amendment, I serve one of the community providers on the western side of the state. When we recruit employees, direct service providers, it's just about minimum wage. It is considered entry level. We get these CNAs, we get these people right out of their schooling, and we can't keep them. We have award ceremonies for providers that have been with us for over 6 months. This is doing this community no good to have this turnover. The results of the study that were done, I think were questionable. I don't have the details, but this will certainly go a long way to helping, or a little way to helping, our community service providers and the community that they serve. Please vote aye.
We're still on our first time. Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their... Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday, y'all were willing to vote for the first reading amendment, and part of the reason I brought that amendment was because this issue, the study that we heard in the Labor Committee, we felt was very flawed. What they did was take the money that was in use, counting the money that we gave them last year, and they just reconfigured how to spend it. None of it addresses the fact that we have two providers, major providers, that will go out of business this year if we do not increase the rates. The other thing that we need to do, that now the process has been started, is to change the rules so that providers can access the individual budgeted amount for the people who receive these services. $750,000 represents the losses of one provider this last year. We had a gentleman take the profit and loss statements from the 10 largest providers in the state and do a cost-benefit analysis. And really, according to accounting practices, you should have a rating of 3, a ratio of 3, to be a healthy business. That means that you have enough money in reserves that you can cover the cost at a reasonable time. We have two of these businesses that are less than one to one ratio. They're going out of business. So if those two providers actually do go out of business, several things are going to happen. And the first one is we're going to have a lot of people displaced. So many people displaced that the Life Resource Center would not be able to handle them. This is not enough money, but it's a start. And we're working on this as a committee. We're working on this from multiple different directions. And so I would ask you to please support this amendment and let's help these people stay alive. And you'll see more amendments coming along later that deal with the fact that we need an honest, true rebasing study done that gives us the numbers, not what do you have and how can you recycle it or rearrange the rates for different services, but what does it cost? We have a lot of turnover in this industry. Several of the providers reported that they had a 75% turnover per year. So the amount of money that they're spending on training staff, and they're not being able to keep staff, they're short-staffed, they're required to pay overtime. It's a difficult population to work with. It's a difficult it's difficult to budget as well. And I would just urge you strongly to support this amendment while we continue to study what is the right number and then bring that back to you next year.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. A couple things. The last time when we appropriated the $1.5 million with the $1.5 match, it was kind of a similar story. This will get us through the study. This will get us through the study. Now we're saying we need more studies and we need more money to get us through the next study. Again, the study indicated that this was the appropriate answer. And I think we're doing what this body seems to really excel at, which is we have a problem, let's put money to it and figure out the answers later. I would suggest your no vote. Let studies be completed. There are task forces out there on that. Stay the course and come back with legislation, not budget amendments, and on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, just briefly,
difficult subject, I know, but I just want you to know that, you know, in JAC we have our hearings. Agencies come in, make their requests. Their request was for $3 million in general funds, which would be $3 million in matching funds, and that full request was approved and funded. That was the amount that was vetted by the agency through the budget process, and I'm going to stick with that.
Anyone else for the second time? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Actually, this is a very appropriate time because we are talking about funding a critical service in our state. The fact that the agency may not have made this request, folks, they didn't have the study at the time they were putting together the budget, nor did the governor, nor did the committee that works with this department. So, I granted they didn't have it in the request because they didn't know what the outcome was. Now, that doesn't, notwithstanding that, when we looked at the study, we didn't agree that it was done properly. It was done backwards, not forwards. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is appropriate. This does give us more time to provide the necessary services to vulnerable citizens from providers and businesses in our state. So I would urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I need to clarify a couple of things. In my comments earlier, I talked about the cost-cutting percent of cuts that these providers have had to absorb over the last several years. I need to clarify that when I say we, I mean this body is a legislator, not a particular committee. We've done this. And I would also reiterate what the good country lawyer pointed out, and I actually had it underlined on my speaking points, is that they worked very hard and were very generous last year to address this problem and put that $1.5 million in as one-time funding and then rolled that over into the biennium this year. And so I recognize and appreciate that they recognize that the importance of these providers in our state. What I'm trying to point out here is that even though with the additional $3 million being biennialized, we haven't got it where we need it to be to sustain it. I think we need to be wise, and I think that the $750,000, which will be matched and be biennialized in addition to that $3 million, will go a long ways to helping these because they really do. The difference in wages that and a number of other things that apply there, I would just encourage your eye vote. We need to make sure that these people of our state have the services that they need to stay in their communities. Thank you.
All right. We are on third reading amendment number 8 to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
I
believe third reading amendment number 8 has passed, and it changes the funds, and therefore a roll call is required. The chief clerk will please call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake. Blake. Blake excused. Burkhart.
No.
Bird. Bird. Bird excused. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Escabel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gay excused. Greer. Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride. Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz. Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Byrd? Aye. Excuse to aye. Blake?
Aye.
Excuse to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 40 aye, 19 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have passed third reading amendment number 8 to House Bill 1. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the House stand in recess until 12:30. And also, I'd like to add, Mr. Chairman, that the sandwiches are ready, that you can have lunch here today. I'd really like you to be back in your seats promptly at 1:30. Thank you. Oh, well, that would be quick, wouldn't it? All right. 1:30, please. Return to your desk promptly. Thank you.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Do we have any committee announcements? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet in about 5 minutes in room H37 to hear the following bill, Senate File 49, Direct Primary Care Insurance Exemption. Committee members, go pick up your sandwich and let's eat it in committee.
Any other committee announcements? All right. We will be in recess until 1:30 p.m.